This episode of Legion of News is made possible by our friends at Squires Electric, a brand new business partner. Squires Electric is a full-service electrical contractor for all of your residential and commercial needs. You can contact them at 503-252-1609, or for more information, go to squireselectric.com.
Greetings, fellow Portlanders. From the Emerson News Network, this is Legion of News!
From high atop the milkpacking district in the heart of beautiful southeast Portland, Oregon, this, my friends, is Legion of News, a one-hour distillation of all important knowledge from everywhere. My name is Rick Emerson alongside Don Taylor, who is, even now as I speak these words to you, bearing information on this vast swath of happenings.
A woman gets 20 years for shooting her husband. Tom DeLay is convicted. For money laundering, and a girl is arrested for burning the Quran and posting the pictures on Facebook.
As always, my friends, have no doubt that this conglomeration of factual discourse and ideological screed will render you shocked, amazed, enraptured, and demonstrably more intelligent than when you began this holiday hour. And now, without further ado, pay heed, for this is the Thanksgiving edition of Legion of News.
Good afternoon, I'm Don Taylor, and this is absolutely everything you need to know for Thanksgiving Day, Thursday, November 25th, 2010.
Hurrah!
Hurrah! A woman who shot and wounded her husband with a shotgun because he was having an affair was sentenced to 20 years in prison Tuesday in Vancouver. The Columbian newspaper reports 54-year-old Cheryl Martin of Ridgefield was convicted in October of attempted murder. She said she was driven to violence by her husband's neglect and emotional abuse. Clark County deputies say Martin called 911 in September of 2007 and told a dispatcher she shot her husband and wasn't sure if he was still alive.
I don't think you can be driven to anything by neglect. I think that's the very definition of not being driven to anything or having anything done to you or being interacted with at all. I don't want to come out of the gate as being a language Nazi today, because it's a day of gratitude and celebration and thanks. Maybe, I'm just thankful that we have a dictionary that tells us what words mean.
Maybe combined with the emotional abuse.
But how can you be neglected and emotionally abused?
Yeah, I know.
That's a zero-sum game. That's one or the other. That's like saying a guy's always at the bowling alley, but he's always punching you with the face at the house.
Yeah. I know from past experience that real abuse takes a lot of work.
There's
a lot of work involved in it.
And a lot of, and you really got a carbo load for that. I mean, it's draining.
Yeah.
It's exhausting. You can't really have any other hobbies. Your stamp collecting goes by the wayside.
Well, the Clark County Superior Court Judge, Barbara Johnson, told Martin her actions were deliberate since she shot her husband twice, reloaded, and then shot him twice more in the legs and arm.
Menendez style.
The husband wanted a divorce, thought he was dying, but survived. He says that between shots, his wife yelled at him, "If I can't have you, nobody can."
Really? She actually said that?
Apparently so.
Okay. Well, I wonder if that's one of those things that actually no one really does say because everyone assumes that everyone says it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Some people just aren't very creative.
No, but I'm just... But in a way, it's like yelling, "Stop the presses," or something.
Yeah.
You know, like you almost want a guy to do it because you figure nobody does it. Why? Because everybody does it.
If I can't have you, nobody can!
So when he asked for the sentence structure, there was a little odd. It said that he asked for a divorce.
He wanted a divorce,
but then thought he was dying.
Well,
but it makes
because he got shot.
Right, but it makes it sound like all of those things happened between
shots.
Like she shot him in the head, and he went, "I want a divorce." That's it.
See, and the way I read it at first, before I realized what they meant, was that he wanted a divorce because he thought he was dying. And then she shot him.
Well, do we know?
No, but that's not it.
Okay, so, but it's not
the husband who wanted a divorce, Eddie Martin, thought he was dying, but survived.
Ah,
so, yeah.
Okay. So it's
just badly written.
It's not like he thought he was dying from being shot twice.
No, I think he did. That's what they mean.
Wait. Okay, hold on a second. I feel like this is in traffic court where they give you the little whiteboard and the magnetic cars and you got to draw exactly why it is you went through a yield sign without yielding. Okay, so let's pretend, just for the, we'll mix it up a little bit. I'll be the wife.
Okay.
You be the husband. Okay. So
don't be so uppity. Get in the kitchen and make me some pie.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to look you in the eye. It's okay. Would you like me to do anything else?
You're no good.
Perhaps I could service you while I'm making dinner.
You were so much prettier when we first got married.
I should only speak when spoken to. Please forgive me. This all happened because I got the right to vote. I'm sorry.
Okay.
We should never play act.
That just took a dark turn right away.
It really did.
Okay, so I got the gun. So I shoot, bang, bang.
Uh-huh.
Then while I am reloading,
you yell.
You say, I want a divorce?
Well, I think probably I said I wanted a divorce before you shot me.
See, okay, that's what I was trying to figure out.
Thing.
It sounded like he said that while she was reloading. He went, and another thing.
I say, I'm tired of emotionally abusing you. I want a divorce. Then you shoot me.
Bang.
And then you say, if I can't have you, nobody can.
I should look at the ground.
Yes, if I can't have you, nobody will.
And then you shoot me again.
Okay, yes, bang.
And then I think I'm dying, but I survive.
This is a lot of work.
Yeah.
Okay.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. You're listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. It is Thursday, November 25th, 2010. It is Thanksgiving. Don't forget the special Rick Emerson edition of the Thanksgiving edition of the Rick Emerson Show. I haven't even had any of that Slayer ale, and I'm already transposing my words.
I'm drinking bourbon.
Is it bourbon? Now, is this the same bourbon you brought in the flask? In other words, the same kind of bourbon you brought the other day?
No, that was actually Canadian whiskey last night. It was Pendleton Canadian whiskey. This is Maker's Mark.
Okay.
I'm having a bourbon day today.
It's going to be a fantastic afternoon. I brought some Ebenezer Ale as well. That's because Rick Emerson cares. So Mr. David Walker joining us in the studio later on today for the Rick Emerson Show. Aaron Duran will be here. We'll be randomly calling friends and loved ones to wish them well and merry on this Thanksgiving afternoon. We've also got, I believe, a penis watch coming up
and a job watch
today. Penis watch, job watch, and the top five thank you songs of all time. It's all coming up in the Rick Emerson Show shortly after 1 o'clock. By the way, we have a wonderful announcement that we're going to be making later on today in the 1 o'clock hour.
I have no idea what it is.
The thing is, and I'm surprised you don't. I thought you might be privy to this, but I guessed
that you were going into rehab. You said no. I guessed that you were going to be in the new Hobbit movie. You said no.
I didn't say those things weren't true. I just said they weren't the announcement for today.
Oh.
So I could be following up the announcement by just getting in a plane and flying off to a place to have all my blood cleaned. In any event, the Rick Emerson Radio Program's Thanksgiving edition comes out today, a little bit after 1 o'clock at rickemerson.com. This program, Legion of News, available on your mobile device at mobile.cascadia.fm. You can also get it via iTunes or as an MP3 download here or at legionofnews.com later on the day. Here's Dante.
Former U.S. House Majority Leader Tom DeLay, once one of the most powerful and feared Republicans in Congress, was convicted yesterday on charges he illegally funneled corporate money to Texas candidates in 2002. Jurors deliberated for 19 hours before returning guilty verdicts against DeLay on charges of money laundering and conspiracy to commit money laundering. He faces up to life in prison on the money laundering charge. After the verdicts were read, DeLay hugged his daughter Danielle and his wife Christine. If you go to rickemersonshow.com/pictures.
rickemerson.com.
What did I say? Oh, show.
Rick Emerson. I think they actually both work.
rickemerson.com/pictures. In our visual aids for today, November 25th, you will see a really warm and fuzzy picture of Tom DeLay with his wife and daughter, who both obviously loathe him with a white-hot passion.
They got their Cindy McCain on.
DeLay told reporters outside the courtroom, "This is an abuse of power. It is a miscarriage of justice, and I still maintain that I am innocent. The criminalization of politics undermines our very system, and I am very disappointed in the outcome."
Yeah, they're not happy to be seen with him, photographed with him. They're glad that it's the last time they're going to have to do so for like 5 to 10. How long did he get? What kind of sentence?
He could get life.
Really?
Prison. Yeah.
From money laundering?
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense. You could shoot a guy, and you could be out, and like this, the shotgun woman is probably going to be out, you know, before that.
Yeah, I know.
It's a strange world we live in.
It is.
All right.
But anyway, yes, I love that photograph because
they hate him.
On his wife's face is one of just sheer unconcealed loathing.
Why didn't I marry that guy that was going to medical school? And that's the daughter on the
on the right.
The daughter on the right, who is just
You know, she's just looking forward to not seeing him, I think, for long stretches of the time. The wife, on the other hand, is probably looking forward to liquidating all of their possessions the minute he is taken into custody by a bailiff.
And he's got his big, happy, I'm in front of cameras face on without a care in the world.
Look at me and my family. Can't you tell that I have a functional penis? Please vote for me. It just becomes like a reflexive thing, I think, at some point. Here's the deal with Tom DeLay. You know his enduring legacy, you know. You know do you know this? Can you, in a pop culture sense, do you know the gift that he has given us?
He discovered Viggo Mortensen?
No. It's close, though. Mm. Tom DeLay, and this is not an overstatement, this is true. Tom DeLay just revolutionized the way that mugshots are taken in this country. Because if you think about mugshots, you always look like Paul Rubens, right? Like you're a dog that just got out of the pen and you have mange and also, you know, and just you're all washing somebody else's blood.
And you look sad.
Yeah,
looks sad.
Tom DeLay is the first guy that had the mugshot taken, and he was bright. He was, beaming smile on his face. He was clean cut somehow. I think because he knew it was coming. I think it's because it wasn't sprung on him. It's like he knew that the jig was up. Hair combed, tie, perfect, pressed, everything wrinkle free. And he had a huge smile on his face.
Much like he does in this photo.
It was the same smile.
It's the freakiest thing. Like, dude, you just got convicted of something that could send you to prison for life.
I don't know. I can't quit smiling. It's almost as though he just had himself like stitched up to the point where his mouth doesn't form any other shape, and occasionally somebody like an intern has to come in and chew up some food and just go poof, and spit it into his mouth because it wouldn't actually work and it just goes straight down the gullet.
He has a great comb over too. One of the best comb overs in politics.
If you look at mugshots taken after Tom DeLay, mugshots of people who of note especially, you will see that everybody began smiling and looking perfect, like they were just standing at Sears with their family in front of like a cloudy background, waiting with the guy with the puppet to take their photo.
Yeah, because you can't look bad in TMZ.
No.
When they find out that you ran over a dead hooker with your car like three times while you're trying to escape from your meth dealer.
It's the court of public opinion, Don. Here is Don Taylor at the news desk.
Yesterday's so-called National Opt-Out Day allegedly failed to materialize at the nation's airport.
So says the mainstream press.
But some passengers are still unhappy with the new enhanced security screenings, including this man at the San Francisco airport.
Is this TSA? TSA 1. The hell did I put my TSA in there?
The wands work perfect. I had no problem with that. But once they started, they come to the pat-down, and they're feeling all up inside you and groping you.
Feeling all up
totally
inside you.
I feel violated.
Well, yeah, if they're feeling all up inside of you.
I'm in your insides, feeling your junks.
This woman in San Francisco doesn't understand what all the fuss is about.
I'm sorry, I got to play this guy one more time.
The wands work perfect. I had no problem with that. But once they started, they come to the pat down, and they're feeling all up inside you and groping you, I just totally didn't like it. I feel violated.
Jesus, it's like we're just getting sound cuts from Stephen King characters today or something.
My spleen is bruised.
It was them what done it to us. I'm sorry, this woman says she doesn't understand all the hubbub?
Yeah.
I think sometimes people have to have something to be angry about, and they've chosen this, and I would rather be safe.
Well.
Nah, I'm going to choose to be angry about her.
Well. This man complains that the wrong people are being selected for random screenings.
White people.
I don't look anything like Osama bin Laden.
I'm unsurprised by that statement.
That is awesome. I think I have a longer version. Let's see if he says more.
Oh, God.
I don't look anything like Osama bin Laden. I'm not tall enough. I'm not the right color hair. And I don't speak the language. And there's about 99% of the people in this airport, same situation. This is a joke. We should profile if it's a security risk.
Best thing I've ever heard.
I love him.
He's not tall enough. Also, wait for it. He doesn't look like Osama bin Laden because he doesn't speak the language.
Right. He's not tall enough, doesn't speak the right language.
Oh, I'm going to play all of these again in order.
The wands work perfect. I had no problem with that. But once they started, they come to the pat down and they're feeling all up inside you and groping you, I just totally didn't like it. I feel violated.
All right, there's confused guy. Here's bitter woman.
I think sometimes people have to have something to be angry about, and they've chosen this, and I would rather be safe.
And then here is the winner so far today in the what is the best soundbite we've ever heard in our lives competition.
I don't look anything like Osama bin Laden. I'm not tall enough. I'm not the right color hair, and I don't speak the language. And there's about 99% of people in this airport, same situation. This is a joke.
He doesn't have the right color hair.
We should profile if it's a security risk.
I like the idea that if he were just, like, if he had his elevator shoes on, though.
Yeah, if he was a little taller and had dark hair, he would be a dead ringer for Osama bin Laden.
Had a chance to stop off at the salon or something.
And then the TSA would be justified in feeling all up inside of him.
That's wonderful. I love this parade of humanity we call life.
I put that aside to revisit again in the next hour.
Oh, my God, that's fantastic.
Particularly after after we have a couple of drinks in us. All right.
Excellent. You're listening to the Thanksgiving edition of Legion of News right here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. This is Don Taylor.
Northern Arizona authorities say a man reported missing from Oregon has been found dead near the Grand Canyon. The Coconino County Sheriff's Office says 38-year-old Gary Shannon Krumholtz was reported missing on October 28th. Krumholtz's family members believed he was headed to the Grand Canyon, and the Washington County, Oregon Sheriff's Office sent an attempt to locate notice to the National Park Service. On November 19th, Park Service employees at the Grand Canyon received a call after a body was discovered in a tent off of Highway 64. Sheriff's Office says there's no sign of foul play, and the medical examiner is looking for a cause of death.
Wait, so this is one of those, I guess it couldn't be, this is one of those, like, old guys that has Alzheimer's and wandered away from home. You can't wander to the Grand Canyon, probably.
Well, he was only 38 years old, so
right, but, I mean,
probably not.
But
no,
he wasn't, like, mentally deficient
no,
in some way.
No, it looks like he just went camping and then died.
He went camping and did it badly.
Yeah.
Okay, there you go.
So something went horribly awry with the camping.
I was all distracted by the fact that his name is Krumholtz, which seems like one of those names that exists solely so it can be in a Mad Magazine article. You know, like, what's your name? My name is Yetta Pilch. You know, it's just like one of those things that just came out of right out of Dave Berg's imagination.
Isn't the guy who plays the mathlete younger brother on Numbers, isn't that actor's last name Krumholtz?
It's entirely, wait a minute, the mathlete's younger brother. Well, not the guy from Ally McBeal.
Not the FBI guy, and not the guy from Ally McBeal, the other guy, who was a kid actor, and now he's an adult, and he was the genius brother.
When you say not the other guy, are you talking about the guy with the corkscrew hair?
Yeah, him.
Him. Is his last name Krumholtz?
I believe his name is...
Wait, he was a child
David.
Actor on what?
I don't remember, but I remember I've seen him in things, in reruns of things from when he was like a teenager or a kid.
And let me ask you this. On the show
it's
Numbers...
Like David Krumholtz.
He's one of the guys on Numbers from Quiz Show...
Yeah.
The Redford film.
Yeah, the guy who was on Northern Exposure, whose name I can't remember at the moment.
Okay, yeah. That's the guy that's not it's the guy that's not John, what's his name?
Yeah. Wow, we're good. We are so good.
Well,
we are pop culture experts.
At least you've been drinking. I have no excuse except my own softening brain. here is Don Taylor.
President Obama is delivering a Thanksgiving message to the nation via his weekly address from the White House.
President who?
President Barack Obama.
Okay. This is
the President of the United States, Mr. Obama.
Of these United States?
Yes.
Okay.
Mr. Obama.
The man over life in these United States, Mr. Barack Obama. It's not Councilman Barack Obama.
No, it's President Barack Obama.
And not Alderman Barack Obama.
Nope, President. President Obama.
Okay.
Obama.
It's not the century.
No.
Okay. It's not the... I'm trying to think of obscure... I'm trying to think of obscure titles.
He's not a constable.
He's
not a potentate.
A potentate. Well done. Good for you.
Thank
Somebody's
you.
Taken the loyalty oath. all right. Is this Obama won?
It is indeed.
To every American, I am thankful for the privilege of being your president. To all of our service members stationed around the world, I'm honored to be your commander-in-chief. And from the Obama family to yours, have a very happy Thanksgiving.
Wow. No folks, no gunna, no... No dropping his G's.
It seems like he might have recorded this like the first day he had the gig, like just to get it out of the way. You know what I mean? Like it was just sort of the last thing he did. It was right after take out the trash and before drop cat out window, you know?
He says his family will indulge in some common holiday traditions.
Today, like millions of other families across America,
we will begin to drink heavily, and then we will loathe our married partners, and we will begin to yell at our parents about how they never loved us.
I will sit on the couch watching football with my hand down my pants.
I will expel flatulence of an almost virulent nature.
I will fall asleep on the floor while moaning that the ham was too salty.
My grandmother will take her teeth out and set them on the table, while my grandfather will become drunkenly angry and shout at her, quote, "You woman, I never loved you."
Two words, America. Box wine.
Today, like millions of other families across America, Michelle, Malia, Sasha, and I will sit down to share a Thanksgiving filled with family and friends. And a few helpings of food and football, too.
This is the worst thing he's ever done. This is the worst statement that Obama has ever put out.
Two helpings of food and football, too.
Did he just say two helpings of food?
I think he did.
Two helpings. Is this like a presidential Mad Libs thing and he forgot to fill in the particular noun?
Today, like millions of other families across America, Michelle, Malia, Sasha, and I will sit down to share a Thanksgiving filled with family and friends. And a few helpings of food and football, too.
He sounds like Fred Armisen doing him on SNL.
He really
does.
The
clipped ends of each of the sentences.
God damn.
Oh, my God. A few helpings of food and football, too.
I have nothing I can add to that. By the way, the thing about my grandmother taking out her teeth, that actually happened. That happened with astonishing regularity. She would get about half into a bottle of whatever it was she was drinking, and she would decide that she was... And I think she had, like, cheap-ass dentures or something. I don't think they were, like, your high... I don't think they were your upper-class plates. They would just start to clatter really uncomfortably inside her mouth, because I don't think she ever used, like, polygraph. She just would... And it was, like, sort of hoping that just, like, good works would keep them in. And they would start to wiggle around and around. And so she would occasionally just take them out and set them on the table. And then commence to gumming, just like the rest of whatever it was. And my grandfather would just get... And my grandparents were awesome because they lived in the same house, but, like, as far away from each other as they possibly... Like, her bedroom was in one corner of the house, and, like, at the... I think, no fooling, I think at one point during the time my grandparents were both alive and living together, I think that they actually built another room onto the house at one point, and I think that it was slightly further away from her than, like, where he had been sleeping in the house, and so he moved all of his stuff, like, into the new room so he could be, like, that extra 6 feet away. But then they would still come to holiday dinners together, like, for reasons that were never really explained. So she would get drunk and take her teeth out and put them on the table, and then he would get really, really drunk and just start referring to her as "your damn woman," which is a thing that, by the way, that made it quite an impression, because you'll hear that come out of my mouth occasionally when I'm, like, stone sober. And then he would just begin to list off the various other women that wanted him because he'd just gotten out of the Navy and was rugged and good-looking and had a good job cutting down trees in the forest, and that he should have married any one of them. It was a glorious time. Let me just, one more, if I can just...
Countless Americans serving at soup...
Oh, I'm sorry, this is...
Today, like millions of other families across America, Michelle, Malia, Sasha, and I will sit down to share a Thanksgiving filled with family and friends. And a few helpings of food and football, too.
I don't look anything like Osama bin Laden. I'm not tall enough, I'm not the right color hair, and I don't speak the language. And there's about 99% of the people in this airport, same situation. This is a joke. We should profile if it's a security risk.
Walk on with hope in your heart.
You're listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us today. The Rick Emerson Radio program comes up slightly after 1 o'clock on most of these Rick Emerson radio stations. Also at rickemerson.com, we're going to be joined by Mr. Aaron Duran of geekinthecity.com, Mr. David Walker. We've also got your penis watch coming up today, Job Watch, top 5 thank you songs, and an announcement that you're going to be, I would imagine, moderately to severely interested in. So you're going to be listening for that. Legion of News brought to you by a series of fine business partners. Today we are thankful for all of them, including Squires Electric. You can find out more about them by going to squireselectric.com. It is squireselectric.com. If it has to do with wires or wiring in your home or business, I was going to say call them today, but that would be pointless. I mean, unless you just feel like leaving them a message to let them know how much you appreciate the fact that they make this fine slice of entertainment possible for your listening pleasure.
Yeah, I think they have better things to do than fix your wiring today.
Yeah, I mean...
They're having a few helpings of food and some football.
I thought you were going to do say the thing my wife has been saying, which is that they have better things to do than being here conducting a radio program on Thanksgiving.
And did I said your wife that say that?
She says that every year. She said that every year for about the last 12. That's okay, and I point out that there is no higher calling than this.
No.
This is really... Really, what else would you rather be doing? Spending time with your family? I mean, I understand that that's a thing that, you know, there's a certain number of people who find that, or in your helpings of food,
yeah,
perhaps, or in your helpings of football.
Yeah, I haven't shared my Thanksgiving stories yet. Let me tell you, I would rather be here than just about anywhere with my family.
Then things have worked out well for you, Don.
Indeed.
Courtesy of Squires Electric and other fine business partners, 503-252-1609 is how you can get in touch with them. Write that number down. You can go to squireselectric.com, squireselectric.com. As you get into the holiday season, the Christmas season, you want to make sure that everything's working properly in your home so that you can light and heat your house as befits the holiday season. So you write this number down, 503-252-1609. If you have to get something repaired, upgraded, installed, replaced, if there's smoke or water damage, or if you just want to make sure that the house you moved into is going to work properly in terms of electricity once the holidays are upon us, which is tomorrow, by the way, when we're going to be... Here's the thing about tomorrow. It's like I can't even... So I was at the store today buying some... is comestibles a word?
Yes.
I was buying comestibles for the Rick Emerson show today, and it's like, and they've already got like all of the holiday crap is already rolled out. It's like all the, you know, the lights and the they've already got the holiday muzak going on. It was just fantastic. It was really just quite something. So as we head into the holiday season, you want to make sure your wiring is up to the date in your house. You should contact them at 503-252-1609. Here is Don Taylor.
The most important turkey tip this Thanksgiving Day is to make sure your bird is cooked thoroughly. To do that, Carol Miller with the Butterball Turkey Talk Line says a meat thermometer should be poked deep into the turkey's inner thigh.
It sounds weirder than it did when I saw that cut earlier this morning. What is this? Is this cooking?
Cooking.
Let's see.
The temperature you're looking for is 180. Now, if you have a stuffed turkey, you want to make sure the stuffing gets up to 165, and you'd position it deep into the inner cavity of the turkey.
You know, you got to make sure.
Wow.
Can I just tell you, I got several thoughts on this. A, you have to give it up to the Butterball people, because they really own Thanksgiving. I mean, and you say, well, that's obvious because they made turkey. But, you know, a lot of people make turkeys, right? I mean, in fact, it's not even like you have to make turkey. Turkeys exist. They're just a thing that's out there. All they do, they just put turkeys in bags. That's what they do. Their job is basically to skin and bag turkeys. To go pick up something that already exists, stick it in a bag, and sell it to you.
I did a story that I had a lot of fun doing many, many years ago when I worked for the Clackamas Review. And I called like five or six of these holiday cooking helplines. And I got the people on the line, and I told them I was writing a newspaper story. And I asked them things like, you know, what are the most common things people ask them about? How many people work there? Do they work year-round? That sort of thing. And I also asked them, what is the stupidest question that you have ever been asked? And some of them were awesome. Some of the questions were just delightful.
Oh, man, I talked to a Butterball woman one time, I think years ago, back when I was a zany DJ. What do you think of just, you know, calling them on the air? And I think we actually had real questions. I don't think I was calling up and, you know, like faking my way through or anything. But I asked them a similar question. The only one I remember is that a woman said that she had an astonishing number of calls that year. She had already received several calls from people who wanted to know if they could thaw the turkey by running it through the dishwasher. And then she said that, amazingly, you probably could. That it wasn't like, you know, as long as you weren't using soap or anything, there was no real reason why you couldn't use the dishwasher to thaw your turkey.
Yeah, you probably wouldn't want to use the hot cycle, but yeah, you could,
yeah.
I guess you could.
So,
sure.
I mean, you know, and so I kind of learned something that year as well. What was the her answer? Do you remember anything?
I really don't remember. I know that they had a lot of, her answer was something like, oh, I don't even know where to start. Let me think, because she'd been doing it for like 15
right.
years. But yeah, people who would call in and just don't understand why the turkey's not cooking, and turns out, you know, they hadn't turned their oven on.
Awesome.
People who cook their turkey without taking out of the plastic wrapper. I mean, people are dumbasses.
People are really dumb. That's the thing. The great thing about the Butterball folks is that, like, you can really, I saw this whole, this whole in-depth thing about people who work at specialized helplines one time, and they really have an astonishing depth of knowledge at the Butterball Hotline. I mean, if you're a moron, you go, how do I turn it on? You know, they can walk you through the basic stuff, like taking out of the package and, you know, like what temperature to cook it so you don't kill your whole family or whatever. People had really, really hardcore questions about, you know, doing the different types of, like, flaying it, or, you know, the butterflying or whatever you do with it. You know, and it's, like, different kinds of additives. And, like, if you're going to cook part of it because somebody in the family likes it cooked a little bit more than somebody else, but it's, like, they're going to be splitting the white meat and the dark meat. And they had a whole thing about, like, what kind of pan you put it in and what kind of foil and how much, you know, how much earlier you got. Because you realize that cooking is effectively, like, a story problem. Cooking is like some really hairy math problem they would give you, where one guy is leaving Chicago, you know, and the other guy's in, you know, like Fort Lauderdale, but they both got to get to Seattle. But one guy has a tailwind. The other guy's going to be taking the subway halfway there, you know, and it's just knowledge that I would never have. It's almost like a freakish savant kind of knowledge, people who work at places like that. By the way,
the technical term for the way I cooked my turkey this year, by the way, is spatchcocking.
Really?
Yes. I spatchcocked my turkey.
What is it? What is the practical upshot of that? What is it? What does it look like?
You cut out the backbone, and then you flip it over, and you lay it down flat on a big sheet pan, and then you cook it that way. And that way, it cooks more evenly, and it also cooks a lot faster.
Let me just say, by the way, that the guy in line ahead of me at Fred Meyer this morning buying a few items. In front of me, there was a guy, and and it was that thing where, like, I have once again picked the wrong line, like I always do at the post office or at the motor vehicle department or whatever, and I was behind the wrong guy because he was there with his daughter, and it was the thing where they were purchasing not one, not two, but three different meat thermometers, and somehow they decided that wasn't quite enough, and so he actually turned to me and he said, hold on just a second, won't you? And then he sent her back to the aisle, like where the meat thermometers are, to get a fourth one. And then as she was on her way to the aisle, he came up with some specific feature that it had to have. So he started yelling at her across the store. It's got to have the pop-out thing. Shelly! Shelly! it's got to have the pop-out thing. And, you know, and it's like everybody in the store has just got, like, the urge to kill that's rising.
Yes.
And it's like, how many meat thermometers could you possibly need? That, because it wasn't like he was cooking multiple dishes. He was buying multiple meat thermometers, he explained to the clerk, who clearly could not have cared less, because he didn't know which one was, quote, the best. And he was all concerned that one of them only went down to zero. It didn't, and I'm quoting here, it didn't go down below zero. And I'm really unclear as to why you would need a meat thermometer that went below zero in the first place.
You don't.
No.
No.
Anyway. I should say just real quickly,
okay.
I got to give it to the clerk, though, who was polite and courteous the entire time, but when the guy was distracted for just a second, the clerk looked at me and just, like, did the most great, he was the most fantastic exaggerated eye roll. So, all right. Here's Don Taylor.
Well, Carol Miller also says that you might want to deep fry your Thanksgiving turkey, but she urges you to use caution.
I do not encourage caution. I encourage reckless disregard of all of the posted instructions and warnings.
If you're frying in the backyard with a propane fire, make sure you read those directions today, and don't do it in your garage. And it's quick. It takes about 3.5 to 4 minutes per pound.
Oh, that's fantastic. All right.
God.
Okay.
Let's do some science news.
Here's your science on the march for Thanksgiving right here at Legion of News.
Jump-in-your-seat moments in movies can always get an extra kick from the screech of violins, and for good reason. Animal behavior researchers have found that the musical scores accompanying classic Hollywood horror and drama films tend to imitate sounds that naturally set people on edge. Such music cues may resemble fuzzy static noise or even screams, according to Daniel Bloomstein, chairman of the Department of Ecology and Evolutionary Biology at the University of California, Los Angeles. He teamed up with a film score composer to tease apart the musical backdrops for some of the most popular films. Bloomstein had a hunch about non-linear sounds, which can occur when a sound system pushes its limit and the sounds begin to break down, similar to when a stereo is turned up too loud or a singer pushes beyond his or her vocal range. Animals such as marmots will use non-linear sounds to grab attention, like making fearful alarm calls that warn about possible predators. Composers have a lot of musical instruments at their disposal to imitate non-linear vocals. Besides these strained strings, there are also overblown brass or wind instruments and inharmonic noisy sounds created by percussion, such as gongs and cymbals. To look into this, the Bloomstein and his colleagues focused on 30-second iconographic scenes from 102 movies that covered genres such as horror, drama, war, and adventure. They used computer programs to analyze the spectrograms of the film soundtracks, showing frequencies of sounds over time, and created a visual tapestry of the sounds that allowed them to pick out distinct patterns of nonlinear sounds when they appeared.
Doesn't this seem like a thing that you and I could have told them in about 10 seconds for one-tenth of the money?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, if you listen to the psycho shower scene, it sounds like somebody squealing.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, I don't mean to be, I'm not trying to be Johnny Killjoy or
but
anything.
But you're right, though.
I'm just saying. That's it.
It's like, oh, it sounds like animals screaming.
Yeah, that's just a guy who
Give us our grant money.
Yeah, that's somebody who didn't want to get a job. That's what that is right there.
For many families, it's a Thanksgiving tradition as rich as turkey stuffing or pumpkin pie.
No, I think I know what that is.
Today, like millions of other families across America, Michelle, Malia, Sasha, and I will sit down to share a Thanksgiving filled with family and friends. And a few helpings of food and football, too.
And getting up at the crack of dawn to go shopping. It's a red letter day for retailers tomorrow morning, many of whom depend on holiday shoppers in order to turn a profit for the year. In some cases, holiday purchases make up 25 to 40% of a retailer's annual sales. The Black Friday crush isn't for everyone, but the allure of a bargain speaks to human nature, consumer psychologists say. The limited-time-only nature of Black Friday triggers an innate fear of scarcity that drives people to buy. As long as these tactics aren't overused, marketing experts say, they can be very effective in luring holiday shoppers to the cash register.
Sounds like there was a sale on obvious news stories.
People truly want to get a good deal, so they might be less rational, said Kenneth Banning, a professor of marketing at Colorado State University. When they can look in the environment and find different cues that make them think they're getting a good deal, the decision-making can be somewhat emotional.
All of our predictable observations are 80% off today, folks. Everything has to go.
Let's move on to a different story.
All right.
It's a hard news day, Rick Emerson.
I'm not faulting you.
All the news people.
No.
Have the day off.
Here's the thing. You can only sculpt the clay that you're given, Don. I understand that. It's you can't control what happens in the world.
climate change over the past 25 years is responsible for a temperature increase seen in more than 150 of the world's largest lakes, new satellite data shows. The results suggest an average warming rate of 0.81 degrees Fahrenheit per decade, with some lakes warming as much as 1.8 degrees Fahrenheit per decade. The warming trend was global, and the greatest increases were in the mid to high latitudes of the Northern Hemisphere. Even small changes in water temperature can result in blooms of algae that can make a lake toxic to fish or result in the introduction of non-native species that change the lake's natural ecosystem. They found that using thermal infrared imagery from satellites of the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration and the European Space Agency, focusing on summer temperatures due to I'm tired of science.
I wondered exactly when you were just going to pull the eject ring on that story.
Screw science.
Okay. You know, my wife is not going back home to see her family this Thanksgiving. That'll be later in December. She's going to go back to Provo. I will probably be ensconced there for a day or two as well, but not going back for Thanksgiving. So I was trying to make her feel like at home. I was trying to sort of, to give her the sensation of being wrapped in the warm bosom of family. So Thursday. So it's on Tuesday that it was like 18 degrees or some damn thing out.
Yeah.
And we had to go to the store. It was just unbelievable. It was so cold that it just made your face hurt. So as we were going to the store and back, I just found myself saying things like, well, here's your global warming right here. And then I would just chuck her on the shoulder, say, I could use some of that climate change here in the car. And then just,
wow.
And start talking about the game that I was going to watch.
She loves you very much.
Really does. She's incredibly tolerant.
Yes.
Here's Don Taylor, the Legion of News news desk.
There's no more science.
Are we done with science, really?
I am so...
you're not just sick of science as it regards that one particular story.
I am so done with science today.
There's your science. You've
got your science.
By the way, I was just reading the most fascinating thing the other day, speaking of climate change, which I guess is what we now call global warming. Mm. And it was a Newsweek from 1977, 1978. But it was this Newsweek magazine where this panel of scientists, they were convinced that the world was becoming unacceptably cold. Things were spiraling out of control and the temperatures were plummeting and it was going to be the beginning of a new ice age. And I swear to Christ, one of the solutions they were suggesting is they were just going to, I swear to you, I am not making this up. It was in Newsweek. One of the solutions they had, it was like in 78 or whatever, they had this whole panel of scientists talking about, what are we going to do? Everything's getting so cold. How can we warm the planet up? And some guy had this answer that everybody else heartily agreed with. They were going to sprinkle coal dust all over the Arctic so that it would reflect more of the sun back.
Hmm.
Or to, absorb it, to keep it from escaping.
No.
So there you go. I'm just saying.
Yeah, no.
Here's Don Taylor.
A British teenager has been arrested on suspicion of inciting religious hatred after she allegedly burnt a copy of the Quran and posted footage of the incident on Facebook. The girl, 15, has been being jailed. It says has been bailed.
Walk on with hope in your heart.
You can do it.
The girl, 15, has been jailed pending further inquiries. Police also arrested a 14-year-old boy on suspicion of making threats over Facebook. He, too, has been jailed pending further inquiries. The girl is accused of burning an English-language version of the Islamic holy book at her school in Sandwell, near Birmingham in central England. A police spokesman said, the local neighborhood team have strong links with the school and have been working closely with the key partners of the community and the local authority to resolve the matter locally. Police will investigate and monitor any crime reported by individuals who may have been targeted.
We have several people asking what it is you're drinking today.
I'm drinking a little bit of Maker's Mark in my coffee. I'm also fighting off a cold.
That's
so
good.
That's part of it as well.
Glad I'm sitting across the room from you.
Yeah.
By the way, that leads into the next question, which is, are you drinking less than normal? Are we hearing the sounds of Dawn detoxing right before our ears?
That's it. I'm drying out, actually. It's been a hard week. So
We have this. Hey, that was the best jackass on the news ever. Followed by, I mean the retard who was talking about profiling, not Rick, like I normally mean. All right.
Nice.
Here
That's
is
sweet.
Don Taylor.
As you begin to make your plans to start your holiday shopping, there are some ways you may be able to save some money and get some of the hottest gift items of the year. Technology writer John Sutter suggests following retailers like Target, Walmart, Amazon, etc. on Facebook or on Twitter, so you'll get a heads up to any stealth deals.
Which cut is this?
Friday.
If you do go to the stores and you have a smartphone, I would suggest downloading an app that will let you scan barcodes and find what that same item is listed for online.
Now, did your phone come with one of those?
A barcode scanning thing?
No. Yes. Okay.
Well, no, but I mean, the app is available to download.
Because it's like when I got the iPhone, that's like one of the built-in apps or whatever. It's like some sort of a weird, and it like links in with your the map or something, or with the GPS thing. So it's like if you scan something and it'll go like no, you can get that cheaper here, and then it does that weird thing of like where the little tack just zooms in on the map and it shows you exactly where you can go.
That's kind of creepy.
You know what's creepy? And I know that I'm like the last of the party on this. I think I mentioned this. We were getting our photos taken on Sunday. That it's just one of those things I just never really used. But it's like that full 360 panoramic like Google Street View thing.
Yeah.
Which I just never really, I'd certainly never used it on my iPhone. And I was trying to figure out where we were getting it taken. And I pressed a button by mistake to turn it on. And then suddenly the camera was sort of wheeling around, like, inside the phone, and it was showing the entire 360 view of the street, which
It was like that dancing at the prom scene in Carrie.
Yes. Yes, it was. Well done. It took me a minute to process that. Which is the thing I think I've done online, but it's not really the same on the computer because it's like you're clicking the arrows or whatever, and so I think it caught me less off guard. Whereas with the touchscreen, it was like I just bumped the phone, and suddenly it's like the camera was. It gave me the weirdest sense of vertigo to be using that. But so the barcode thing is linked into that, and it will actually do this sort of thing of where like it zooms right into the map to some store, where the thing is available for like slightly less.
Mm. Well, Sutter says that if you're looking for consumer electronics deals, you're better off staying home on Friday.
The best deals on TVs are actually going to be later in December. So if you're looking for a steal on an HD TV or an LCD TV. Then you might wait and look online in December instead of going into the Black Friday rush.
Here's the thing that I've noticed is that people who do not have HD TVs, or people who don't have like plasma TVs or whatever, there is this sort of, I don't know, it's like there's this weird fraternity of people, and they speak about it in hushed voices. It's like with you with your plaid pantry phone that you have for the longest time, where it's like you lower your voice because you don't want to get the scorn and derision of others, and you talk about, I still have a cathode ray television at home, tell no one. I was bonding with, of all people, Siegfried about that, who I would imagine, I would have pictured him, we've never been to his place, but he has a really, really nice house, and he's a film freak, of course, and he's a massive DVD collection. He collects, actual, like, 35mm prints and stuff, too, but he has a great sound system, whatever. And I just sort of assumed that he would have the huge, 90-inch, plasma thing. And he doesn't. He just has, the big boxy cathode ray TV like I got. And so he said
And like I have.
And he said this. I guess I assumed that you would have a flat screen as well just because it's one of... Because you watch so many movies
I am a super late adopter of technology, partly because I'm poor and partly because I just always have been. I realize that... I wait to see, how the prices will drop on things before I ever commit to buying.
Well, also because the later you, the longer you wait, the cheaper it's going to be and the more you're going to get for the same money. That's my thing.
And also, so far, I've only started really craving a big flat screen TV, lately. Really, my TV is fine, It's 25, 27 inches. It was huge when I bought it. It felt enormous when I bought it because it was so much bigger than the TV I had before. And I'm just it's fine.
The thing I do is I make sure to avoid actually doing, because people say, you only think your TV looks good. You want to do a side-by-side comparison, which is exactly why I do not do that.
Yeah. What's wrong with thinking your TV looks good?
Here's the thing. It's like the TV doesn't, I hate to sound like an old guy here, but if I want to see something that looks lifelike, I could just kind of look around, anywhere else in the room. So
have you ever been anywhere, I went to get my tire fixed at Les Schwab, and they have a big flat screen TV there in the waiting room, and they were showing an episode of Law and Order. And have you ever seen those when you have a super high def TV showing something on high def now, and now you can see that it's actually digital video and not film, and it looks creepy and weird, and all of a sudden it's like you're watching an afternoon soap opera and not a nighttime drama.
Yeah, because the quality of the film is actually so. Because that's the thing about film is that film actually has a lower, and it's not fidelity, but it's clarity, I guess. Film has a lower visual clarity than digital, than videotape, which is why film always looks so smooth and beautiful, because it's like shooting everything through a soft filter lens, basically. Yeah, so when you watch everything in flawless video or flawless digital, it does look like you're watching an episode of Guiding Light. And by the way, it's like a whole different story when you see Cameron Diaz in the HD. It's a bad, and I know that nobody's perfect or whatever, but that's a thing that she's a neck down from now on.
I also realized watching a rerun of Law and Order in HD when it looked like it was videotape that you'll forgive a lot of bad acting if the thing actually looks like it's a movie.
Yeah.
once it looks like it's you're just watching them standing there like 3 feet away from you, you start realizing, wow, Mariska Hargitay really can't act.
This is such wooden dialogue, and it's badly directed, too. You are listening to Legion of News right here at Cascadia.fm, special Thanksgiving edition. Thank you for joining us. Brought to you in part by Castalia Language Center. You can find out more about them by going to PortlandSpanish.com. That is PortlandSpanish.com. PortlandSpanish.com. Clara Grebel, who is the owner and operator of Castalia Language Center, operates Spanish language classes for adults in downtown Portland with class sizes no more than 8 people. That is you and 7 of your compatriots, your comrades, your colleagues, your fellow travelers on the road of Spanish linguistics, which means that you're going to be learning in a near individualized way. You're not just going to have to memorize things and then recite it back, which is not effective, which is probably the way you learned it maybe in high school, which is why you might not think that you have any facility for learning a second language. And you do. It's a lot easier than you probably remember, a lot easier than you might imagine. It's all about how you teach it. And so they know how to teach things in an immersive way. They can find something that works with your schedule. They'll find a day and a time that functions best with the rest of your life. And again, they keep class sizes very small and they're very flexible. So you find out more by going to PortlandSpanish.com. That is Castalia Language Center, PortlandSpanish.com. Please tell them you heard it here, won't you? Here is Don Taylor.
A British man has lost his license after getting nabbed for drunk driving in an electric Barbie car. 40-year-old Paul Hutton was pulled over near his home in Essex, England. During a court appearance, Hutton admitted to being a, quote, twit. Hutton is a former Royal Air Force engineer who now studies electrical engineering. He says the drive was part of a project he was doing with his son, who is taking a course on car mechanics. Tests revealed Hutton was twice the legal limit while behind the wheel of the toy car. He was given a 3-year ban from driving because of another drunk driving conviction in the last 10 years.
When you say a toy car, this is one of those ones that's like the size of a wagon or whatever, right?
That a kid can actually drive around in.
How would he even... Well, he must have just be a tiny... He must be a Not a little person, but I mean just a slender man.
Or he's just sitting on top of it. Dude, he was drunk. Who knows how he was doing
it? Sort of riding it like some sort of a pink Barbie pommel horse.
Yes.
That sounded strangely pornographic. I'm sorry.
Yes, it did.
You know, when I was growing up, I would see kids
pink
who had
Barbie
cars like that.
Pommel horse.
And I was filled with loathing and envy when I would see kids that had the little actual, the motorized mechanical battery operator, you know, the actual self-powered automobile that wasn't, where you weren't pedaling your way down the street. And that, to me, that was one of those toys, not unlike the green machine. That was the dividing line between if you were spoiled or not. It wasn't just like if you had something I didn't have. Lots of kids, you know, have stuff other kids don't have. If you had the green machine or if you had that thing, it was like, or whatever the, you know, whatever the variation on it was when I was a kid, it was the car that actually was battery operated and was self-propelled. That was like my, that was where my class envy started as a kid, is if you possess, and I'm looking at you, my cousin, but about whom I just still carry the largest grudge. Can I just tell you this about my goddamn cousin when I was growing up?
Sure.
I hope something horrible happened to him later on. I hope he got something infectious and itchy.
Because he had a little electric car?
It's not just that he had the electric car and the green machine. You know, his parents did this thing. Maybe they had an eye on the collector's market even then. Or maybe he was just such a little pig bastard that decided that he just, you know, what does that come with? Well, that comes with getting lots of stuff you don't need. So whenever they would buy him a Star Wars toy, they would actually buy him 2. And I think it had less to do with the idea that they were going to somehow be able to sell those or they were going to be valuable, because I think even then, you know, as big as Star Wars was, nobody really had the notion that Star Wars stuff was going to be so unbelievably valuable and everybody would have kept it. I think it was just that he was like a little gloop-type bastard and he would just break stuff, you know? He was just like that kid. You know what he was? He was like a Dudley Dursley kid, where it's like he would just, you know, be playing with one of his toys or whatever and like snap the arm off. Why? Because he was not that bright. He kind of treated everything like a not too bright kid with too much money. And so I think they just started buying duplicates of everything for him under the theory that he would only possess one of them for like 5 minutes before he would somehow snap it in two. Anyway, so you go to his house and it's like there would just be a set of, you know, like a complete set of Star Wars things, including, by the way, the Darth Vader carrying case. And there would just be 2 of them sitting there.
Oh.
It was like they did. And then they would invite me over to hang out.
I hope that something horrible happened to him as well.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, you know, and there I am just looking, you know, just sitting in the room just wondering if I could set him on fire before they were able to stop me. Anyway. I was bitter for a while, but I'm over that now. Here's Don Taylor.
Participants in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade getting in the holiday spirit this morning. I'm just going to read what it says on this page.
Does it say something nonsensical?
This people were wearing pajamas and Santa hats.
Awesome. Let's see. This is parade?
Yes.
Let's see if I've got that here.
Of course they're wearing pajamas and Santa hats.
Hold on a second. I need to work up to that. Oh, I need to be soothed.
They're horrible.
Let me just...
Today, like millions of other families across America, Michelle, Malia, Sasha, and I will sit down to share a Thanksgiving filled with family and friends. And a few helpings of food and football, too.
Here's the thing. Do you suppose with this cut that his handlers were trying to figure out what food he could mention that would not be divisive or make people think he's a Muslim?
Oh, yeah.
And they just never got back to it? They just said, no, well, just for now, just put food or something. We'll come and we'll fix that later.
Don't say turkey because you'll alienate the vegans.
The liberals, yes.
You know, and all the vegetarians.
You don't want to say hummus.
No. You know, you don't want to say something like cornbread because that sounds too black.
That's right.
Just say food.
We'll come up with a better answer later. And they're like, there was no better answer to be found. All right. I'm sorry. So these people are, what does it say? They're wearing
pajamas and Santa hats.
All right. You ready?
Yeah.
Happy Thanksgiving!
We're watching traffic.
A holiday tradition, the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, made its way through Manhattan today. Here, a marching band plays Jingle Bell Rock.
Okay. Hold on, give me just a...
Walk on, walk...
Okay. If only you had held that ringtone contest for another week, Don. All right. Did you ever notice how much Peggy Lee sounds like Wayne Newton?
No, I haven't noticed.
Listen to Donka Shane and listen to Jingle Bell Rock back to back. The same person, I swear to Christ. You're listening to Legion of News. Here's Don Taylor.
A Columbia man was arrested after complaining to police that he was ripped off by two prostitutes.
He's a Columbia man!
I think this is Columbia, like South Carolina. So, officers were dispatched to a complaint of theft around 7 p.m. Saturday, said Columbia police spokesman Officer Jesse Hayden. Ryan M. McNames, 19, told officers he offered two women $60 for one of them to show him her chest and for the other to perform oral sex on him. After he placed payment on the stereo, one of the prostitutes showed him her chest, but the second did not perform the oral sex, he said. The women took the money and left.
Did it really say chest? Well, I guess it's the news. They would. They didn't want to traffic in euphemisms.
McNames requested the officer contact the women and get them to return at least $40 that he was owed for an incomplete transaction.
Mm-hmm.
He told the officer he knew it was illegal, but that he had made similar transactions before.
Okay.
McNames was arrested on suspicion of patronizing prostitution and was released from county jail after he posted a $500 bond.
It's an oddly specific kind of request, though, that he wants the one girl to be performing the oral satisfaction on him, but the other girl, he just wants to, like, he just says, show me your chest. And I wonder if he's on a fixed income, he always has the same money to spend, and at one point he just asked them, like, what's the most I can get for this? Yeah. And he just kind of put it out, and he's like, I got $161. What'll that get me? And, you know,
well,
he's like,
also, if you would like to actually
visual
be looking
stimulation
at boobs while someone is performing the oral sex upon you, that's really difficult because, you know, she's down there, so the breasts are sort of out of your sight. Well, so you need the second woman to show you the boobs.
I guess if you're in one of those, like, if you're in one of those birdcage halos on your head because you snapped your neck. Otherwise, I think everybody else just turns their head a little bit. They just look,
kind of peeking
just,
her. But
you look down.
Maybe he doesn't like that angle.
Well, or here's what I was thinking. Maybe the girl who is the most visually alluring, the girl who has the best visual aesthetic, maybe she is not skilled in the way the other girl is.
That's right. Or maybe it just be the other girl also. The other girl is just really awesome at it.
Maybe the other girl's like a carnal Cyrano, you know,
yeah.
Where it's like he looks at the one girl, you know, and he pretends it's the second girl.
Yeah, the one girl has the really great rack. The other girl has no teeth.
That's what I'm saying. Okay. I'm so sorry for this. Legion of News is Legion of News is brought to you by ChristmasMountainTrees.com.
Jingle bell,
stop.
Jingle bell rock.
No. Say, kids, it's holiday season. It's the worst segue of the week. ChristmasMountainTrees.com is the website for one of our brand new business partners, Christmas Mountain Trees, just like it sounds. You go to ChristmasMountainTrees.com. They help make Legion of News possible for you. And we've talked, you know, about how you go, and it's an entire experience. It's a whole day. You take yourself, you take the family, you go there. You at the end of the day, you're going to, and I mean the literal end of the day, not like in the figurative end of the day. The literal end of the day, you're going to have a fantastic Christmas tree, and it's going to be something that is, you know, that you've picked out yourself. Your family has gone. They found it. They've traveled among the, you know, the tens of thousands of trees to find exactly the right tree for your home. It's going to look perfect. It's going to have all the excess needles already taken off. It's going to be wrapped up. It's going to have one single piece of twine that goes all the way around. They call it baling, which means you get home, take off the twine, it expands, looks beautiful. And here's how they know what they're doing, because they've been doing it since 1942. It's in the 1940s when the grandfather of Troy, son of Aragorn, who now operates the business with his wife Jennifer, his grandfather started doing this in 1942. He would go up to Mount Hood, he'd cut the trees down himself, he'd bring them back to Portland, and he would sell them. And now, you know, 70-odd years later, they're now operating this as a family farm. And the farm actually operates year-round, and then when Christmas approaches, then they start getting everything ready for the holiday season. You find out more by going to ChristmasMountainTrees.com. Now, they open tomorrow. That is tomorrow, Friday, November 26th. So today is Thanksgiving. They open tomorrow, the 26th, at 10 a.m. Regular hours are Wednesday to Friday, 10 to 4:30. Saturday, Sunday, 9 to 4:30, all the way through December 19th. You go there, and again, it's an entire experience where you go. There's a wagon that will actually, it's a wagon ride that is sort of up to a tractor, and they'll take you and your family deep into where all of the Christmas trees are, and you can take as much time as you want. He said they get people up there that actually spend like 4 or 5 hours, and they'll go out and they'll look at trees, they'll come back, sit by the fire, drink a little cider, go back out, look at more trees until they find the one that is just right. So if you're wanting to get an experience for Christmas that mirrors the experience you've always seen in movies or you've always imagined, that's how you do it. You contact Christmas Mountain Trees to find out more. Go to ChristmasMountainTrees.com. That is ChristmasMountainTrees.com. Here is Don Taylor.
Let's do a little entertainment news.
Here's your entertainment news for Thanksgiving.
Billy Joel is recovering from dual hip surgery.
Thank God.
He's doing great, a source told People magazine. Joel, 61, elected to have both hips operated on last week in order to correct a congenital ailment.
Now, he wasn't doing it like it wasn't just to stay ahead of the curve or something.
No, apparently he, had a hip thing. People reports that Ann Lopez has filed for divorce from George Lopez after 17 years of marriage. The papers, which cite irreconcilable differences, were filed in Los Angeles Superior Court 2 months after the pair announced they were parting ways. Ann is seeking spousal support from the Lopez Tonight host and primary custody of the former couple's 14-year-old daughter, Mayan. 1 week after being ordered to prison for failure to file his income tax returns, Wesley Snipes is asking for bail while his legal team attempts to appeal his conviction for the second time. The actor, who was sentenced in 2008 to 3 years in prison, has filed a motion, which prosecutors must respond to by next week. The motion read, "Mr. Snipes has honored the court's trust before, during trial, as well as pending sentencing and appeal. There is no reason to change the court's judgment now. His ongoing and successful projects in the movie industry further ensure he would not consider fleeing."
What are these ongoing and successful movie projects?
Not a clue.
Okay.
It's been a year since the world's most famous golfer shocked the world with a car crash that led to a sex scandal. In a recent interview, Tiger Woods talked about making amends with his biggest supporters.
I think it's about time I kind of basically made a connection to the fans, who've been absolutely incredible.
Sounds like he's already made a connection to the fans.
Here's a clip from his apology in February.
Deeply sorry for my irresponsible and selfish behavior.
Penis.
I engaged in.
Somebody ought to make some, some master mix of all of the, with Michael Jackson on camera talking about how they had to touch my penis in humiliating and degrading ways. And then you got your Clinton, the I didn't have sex with that woman. You got your Tiger Woods.
And then that guy from earlier.
Yes, are you talking about this guy? Oh, damn it.
Our TSA guy.
I don't even know which of the many, many irritating TSA guys. Are you talking about this guy?
I don't look anything like Osama bin Laden. I'm not tall enough. I'm not the right color hair.
Yeah.
And I don't speak the language. And there's about 99% of people in this airport, same situation. This is a joke. We should profile if it's a security risk.
You just know he's wearing a hat, too.
Yeah. Many golf fans, including this woman, say they're still disappointed in Tiger Woods.
I just lost respect for him, so I don't care about him at all anymore.
Okay.
This woman, though, says she's still a fan.
I still like like Tiger Woods no matter what. I'm not going to say nothing negative about Tiger Woods because I don't like judging people.
Mm.
Ladies and gentlemen, I give you the average American.
I still like Tiger Woods no matter what. I'm not going to say nothing negative about Tiger Woods because I don't like judging people.
Also,
I don't look anything like Osama bin Laden.
There you go.
On Happy that Thanksgiving.
Note, let's bring a conclusion to this. Your Thanksgiving edition of Legion of News. How much of that whiskey have you, or that bourbon have you consumed
just
so far?
Just a tiny little bit.
I'm just asking.
Very small amount.
No, I'm just curious.
I'm pacing myself, baby.
Doesn't matter to me. I don't care. It's, okay, we'll be done now. Yeah. Wait. Yes. All right, Legion of News comes to you live each and every weekday from the studios of the Emerson News Network, high above the milk packing district in... Wait. Yes. Glorious Southeast Portland, Oregon. Back again tomorrow at noon. Don't forget the Rick Emerson Show is next at rickemerson.com, featuring Mr. David Walker, Mr. Aaron Duran of geekinthecity.com. You got your job watch, your penis watch, top five thank you songs, and a special geek-tastic announcement you won't want to miss. What is it, Don Taylor?
Wear my dinner and football.
I think we're doing two entirely different shows today at the same time. Like two sort of intermeshed combs. Thank you for listening, everyone. Have a happy and safe Thanksgiving, won't you? We'll see you again tomorrow at noon for Legion of Noon. Thanks for listening.